15:30. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and they were acting out of order, much like this situation. They were acting out of order, and Paul had to write and tell them how to conduct themselves in the assembly. And these were people who had the Spirit. It was a genuine, the Holy Spirit was in them, and they were, by being a transition period, they were equipped to speak in tongues, real tongues, to prophesy, real prophecy, miracles, signs, healings, real healings. And Paul had to write to them, and he said this. He says, verse 29, let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first interrupt him. What did he say?
Hold his peace.
For ye may all prophesy together.
One by one.
Okay. That all may learn and be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are what?
Subject to the prophet.
For God is not the author
of confusion,
but of peace, as in all churches of the saints, including that church down there. God is not the author of confusion. So when you see confusion, you know what? It's not God. When you walk into a place and he's already laid the instructions about speaking in tongues, you walk into a place and you see that it's out of order, is that God?
No.
He says, you do it like this. One, two, three, interpret. You speak, you prophesy like this. One, two, you wait. You go in and they're all doing it together, all at one time. Or you go in and they're all speaking at one time. No interpreter. All in disorder. The first thing you know is what? Okay, the second thing you know is what?
God is not there.
God is not there because God is not the author
of confusion.
So when she did that, this is a man who's he's preaching, he's exhorting the congregation, and here this lady is running up and down the aisle. You can't say it's before the Lord because the Lord is, he's talking. He's talking through the minister. So you can't hear him and do that too. Can you?
No.
So people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit taking over her. H-O-L-E-Y spirit. That's got holes in it.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
I was just going to say that what came to mind. He said he does not act unseemly.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says.
Right.
So when it seems that, okay, she's doing her own thing.
She's doing what?
Her own thing.
Why do we think that's strange for a person that's in a building? All it is a building. It's like you walk in here and all of a sudden that you just can't control yourself. Right? You come in here and you hear the message. The verse said what? The spirits of the prophets are what?
Subject to the prophets.
What does subject mean?
Under your control.
Heel. Sub, under. Right. I keep my body under
subjection.
That means what? I control myself. That means I don't care what kind of message you hear, you can do what?
You can control.
Are you sure?
You can control your emotions.
Not the Holy Spirit.
You can control your emotions.
Not the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Not when he takes over you.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
He make you do that.
No.
How you know that?
Because he's subject to you.
How do you know that?
How do you know that he's
subject to you?
Because he has order.
Because he has order.
Yeah, he has order.
Because the verse, Karen said, because the verses say that.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about it last week. The problem is authority. Is what do you, if you don't like this, you know what you'll do? I don't like that. Okay. I understand that. Most fleshly reactions are against the spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and the two don't agree. So your flesh says what? Jump up and show them how spiritual you are.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit say, you need to sit down and listen. So whoever wins, you see the manifestation. So back to this. When David came back, it was before the Lord. Because now here's a man, look, we've been studying David. He's been chased like a flea, like a dog. He said, the king, he says, what are you coming out for me for? You coming after a flea. He takes 3,000 men to get David's 300 men, or 5,000 to get David's 5 to 1. He's going out against this man. You know why? Because it's God's man. You know that verse in Romans we looked at, he says in the 2 Timothy, he says in the last times, and this is a parallel, he says they will be despisers of those that are good. You know what your family, you know what your family don't like? Your family and my family. You know what they don't like? They don't like when you stand for the gospel. Because they'll say, oh, I remember when you,
yep.
I know when you did. But what they do, they don't know the change that's happened on the inside. But when they say this, they say, well, yeah, you probably do remember that. So do I. But guess what? That don't stop.
He died.
It's something that happened on the inside. I'm not the same person. Mm-hmm. He told the Corinthians, he says, no, don't you know that these people won't inherit the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Didn't he say that?
Such were some of you.
He said, such were some of you. They were doing the same thing, though. But he said, that's not your name now. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been what?
Justified.
By who? By the Spirit. Not by the people, by the Spirit. You're going... You saved anyway, whether they like it or not. Whether I like it or not. Whether, you know, when you take that, when you make a heart transaction, there's times where you don't even know if you saved. You might say, man, I can't believe, I can't be saved in this the way it is. Yeah, you can. You can. Because the very fact that I think when Ed was saying, he said the reason I, when he first got saved, he just knew I had it. I didn't know a whole lot more, but I knew I had it, and I knew the things that I did that didn't bother me. Now they bother me. That's how you know.
Amen on that.
Or the Holy Spirit say, now you know. You trusted him. You know that. And you say, yeah, I know. You know what? I'm going to tell y'all a secret. Well, maybe not. Now, let me think of something else. Something a little less incriminating.
Put it out there, Frank.
No, that's embarrassing.
No, put it out. You done laid it on the table.
No, that's... All right, I'll put it out there. This was like when I first got saved. It was, well, maybe a few years. And I used to be a gambler.
What?
And I know, that's what we get back to Samuel in a minute. But I used to, and this is our whole, we had block. And we would play tunk. You guys know what tunk
is? Oh, yeah.
We would play tunk. And we would play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all night. Wow. It was all like a every weekend, Friday, somewhere, somebody's house, we did that. So I remember, and I got saved, and I was still playing, and they would come in, they would say, what are we going to play tonight? And I would say, we're going to be over here. And then we go over there, and we play Friday. And when you get tired or run out of money, either you borrow money or you just wait until you got some more. So we get through, and the people who got out, they just sit on the couch and watch TV or whatever they did. Some would go to sleep, wake up, start all over again. Well, I did that for months after I got saved. And here's what I would do. Friday, I'd play. Saturday, I'd play. And then Saturday night, I would stop early. And I said, well, I got to go to church in the morning. And they were like, oh, okay, the reverend, he got to go to, so, you know, let him get his last hand in. And so what I do, they say, well, we'll save you a spot because we know you'll be back after church. And I would.
Yeah.
And one day I was on the way back, and it was at my sister's house. And I was pulling up, and like the Lord say, what are you doing? All those people in there are lost. You playing cards. You should be talking about me. And he said, it was like, he said, how long are you going to do this? And I was like, wow. And I said, well, this is the last night.
One more time.
But that's how wicked your old man is. Parked the car, went into the house, sat down, they dealt me in, I was playing, and they were saying, what are we going to play next week? I said, you know what? Put the cards down. I said, that's it. And they said, what? I said, that's it. I said, that's my last hand. And they said, where you going? I said, I'm done. Like, I'm done. I'm like, no, I'm done. That's it. And they're like, oh, yeah, right. We'll see you next week. And I said, no, that's it. That was it. The Holy Spirit had finally convicted me, godly sorrow, where I realized that these people are stumbling over me. I got something they don't have, and I'm taking advantage of it. And I put those cards down. I said, that's it. And I've gambled since then. But it was just for fun. I mean, just where cards with my family came in. And it was like nickel hands or whatever. But that's not my lifestyle anymore. It was my lifestyle before.
That's your recreation now.
It's not even recreation. That was like that was one of those liberties that I knew I had that could be used against me. But that was 3 or 4 years ago. But I said all that to say, when it happens, mm-hmm. If you saved, you got it.
Yes.
Growth is something else. Yes. You can't kick yourself for things that you do or don't do. You know, when you grow up is when you get the information, and when the Lord say that these words are spirit.
Thank you, God.
They're spirit and they're what?
Life.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Life. You know what the Lord said when he was on earth? He says, except the man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he had no part of me. And they said they were offended at this saying because they didn't know what he was talking about. He said, you won't. And he was talking about his words. And it went over their head. And he said, you won't fellowship with me? That's how you get it. And all you're doing is, when you eat that word, it's just storing up life in you. What happens? If you eat yogurt, Annette, it works because what?
Because
it's living. It works when you don't even think it's work. It tastes good to you. That's all you know. But when you digest it, it's something that's happening on the inside. And when you take the word in, you don't think it's living. You just say, well, we went and heard a good sermon today. It might uplift you for a minute. But you don't know it's working when you sleep.
Amen.
It's working when you clowning. It's working in the middle of your monkey shine. It just takes a little time. So you go out there, and I'll tell you another story. I'll get back to this in a minute, Karen. We were.
Why did you
buy selecting? Well, you got the key.
I hope you have that recorder on all this time.
I think I did. Yeah.
It is on.
I think I did.
Good.
Wow, what's wrong with this story?
No, that's wrong. Make sure it's recorded.
I don't even know. I'm saying this just for the benefit of the class. I'm not proud of this, but. I was in a situation where a compromising situation, and the persons that we were in the same building together, and I remember the girl said this. She was like, "I thought you was a Christian." I said, "I am." She said, "Oh." She said, "Oh, you one of those hypocrites."
Whoa.
That's what I said. That was just like getting punched in the stomach. And when she said that, you know what my mind said? Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell people like this, "Well, see, I'm under grace." And sometimes when you're under grace, nope. Doesn't work, because all they see is this is what you said. This is what I think they ought to be, and you're not doing this. So you can talk and talk and talk about grace, about God's forgiveness, but all they, yeah, I know, whatever you say. But you know what takes care of that? It's information. When you find out who you are in Christ, when you find out what you got in Christ, then you can see that Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, "You examine yourself. You know whether you believe or not. Mm-hmm. You know what you believe."
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't you know that Christ is in you, except you be what?
A reprobate.
Except you never trusted him." But he said this. He said, "But I trust you shall know that we are not reprobates." That's why it's so important about your walk.
Amen.
You're not doing this to get saved.
Amen.
You don't walk worthy to stay saved. You walk worthy why? Because you are saved.
Amen.
And somebody, not just for your benefit, to experience the joy of the Lord, but when people see you, they can say, "You know what? I know Sherry, and she is different." Because I knew her when, and you don't even have to say anything. They'll talk to you and then say, a guy came to work, and he always cracked jokes all the time. And you can't stop people from doing what they do. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "You don't never cuss. You don't never joke around with us." He said, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" I said, "Why you had to be a preacher? That's just not how I talk." I said, "Because I just won't let him do what he want to do, because I'm not the moral policeman." Mm-hmm. And but that's what the life you live. You don't have to hold up a sign. Wear the little things, bracelets, and people. You are a living letter, known and read of all men. So when David does his, back to David, when David comes in from the battle, he is so happy for what the Lord has done for him. He began to dance, and he said this. He says, "I did it before the Lord." And his wife said, "Look at the king. How glorious," sarcastically, "how glorious was the king today? He was like one of the vile men, one of the base men who were dancing." And I can see David, he's like, right. He said, "Wait a minute. I did it before the Lord. And I can see who picked me instead of your father. He appointed me instead of your father. And I'll dance before the Lord because he gave it to me. And you think I'm vile? I'll show you vile. And she never had a son. She never had a child with David. And David had wives, and he had more children, but she didn't have any. Chapter 7. I'm sorry for deviating like that, but it's a chapter.
Frank, you're the teacher. You talk about what you want to talk
chapter about. 7. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now here's David. We know what happened up to this point. They didn't deserve to be in the situation they were in. Israel was rebellious. They had did everything but serve the Lord. But the Lord, in his grace and his mercy, he reaches down and picks David. You know, he told David, he says, I picked you out of the sheep coat. He was herding sheep. He what? Like we said, who's qualified for this? He wasn't out of the kingly line. He wasn't like Saul, tall, dark, and handsome. He was a little ruddy. The scripture said he was a ruddy fellow. And the Lord said, that's the one I want. I want the one who people say, he can't be him. That's what, right. He said, I want that one. You know what they did? Samuel went through, Jesse had seven sons. You know what Samuel did? That one? Nope. He went all the way down the line. He says, he ain't got no more. He doesn't have any more. And he says, we got one in the field. But he's a little fella. And he said, go get him. And he brings him back and he said, that's him. Anoint him king. And David has grown up now. He's not the sheep herder now. He's fought, he's battled, he's killed, he ran, fled, hid. He's developed quite a relationship with God now. How long you been saved? In your mind, you done had some experience now. Experience accumulate over time. The person you were when you first trusted him, you can look back and you say, well, I've been through some things now. It's like I know that he's real. That's what Jacob, you know, when Abraham got the promises, he says, God is just going to give us a land. He's going to give us a kingdom. And he had Isaac, and he said, son, God's going to give us a land, give us a kingdom. And Isaac, he said, I got it. And then they have Jacob. And he says, his grandfather and his father says, God's going to give it to us. And Jacob was going through his life. He was a rascal. And the Lord appeared to him one night. And when he saw the vision, and he woke up and he says, now I know. He said, this is none other but the what? House of God. Experience. That means he's now I know. Well, what? They've been telling you all along. He didn't believe him. He had to experience it. Yes. You know, people say, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord. Yeah. They don't believe it. They don't believe it's real. They say, oh, that's for the weak-minded people who need a crutch to get through life. And say, no, it's more than that. He's real. And sometimes all you can tell a person, you may not be explained it, but you can say, you know what? You need to trust him in whatever situation it's in, because he'll bring you through it.
I was thinking in relation to that, it's like when
somebody tells you, well, now you're a new man. And you say, okay, I'm a new man. But then eventually, through experience, you actually react in a different way than you used to react. And you say,
right.
Wow, I'm a new man.
Right. Like you said, you used to be, you know the old Ed.
Right.
And you know how he would do or how he would act in a certain situation.
Exactly.
And that's not the way the new man is today. But the old man says, remember you used to do this? You need to do that just as one more time. If you want to get here. And the new man says, why don't you just trust the Lord?
Amen.
Like Lawrence, he said, why don't we just tell the truth? It's a lot harder to tell a lie. Than he,
yeah.
What did I tell you? What? Yeah, just tell the truth. What a novel idea.
I tell my wife and daughters that.
Just tell the truth.
They never can remember that lie.
So, but David has the experience, is there now. And in God and his grace, he says now, he said, then when the king, what? Verse 1, he says, when the king did what? Sat in his house. And the Lord had given him
rest
round about from
his enemies. That's all right.
That is,
amen.
Just that statement alone,
amen.
If you didn't know who David was,
amen.
If you didn't know who David, that'd preach. If you didn't know who David was, it would mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But we know who David was, where he came from, and if you didn't know where the nation was, it wouldn't mean a thing. But we know where the nation was. They were in rebellion. They were supposed to be dominated by their enemies. Weren't they?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they had begun to be, the scripture called tributary. They had begun to be servants to their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
When God told them to go in and take the land,
mm-hmm.
they had rebelled so bad where the people in the land was taking over them.
That's true.
And with all that, he reaches down in his grace, picks David up. Don't worry about that. Picks David up and makes him king. And gives him the kingdom and gives him rest from all his enemies. And David's sitting there. He says, here I am, Nathan. I got all this. And the Lord is in it. In a tent. In a tabernacle. He said, I want to build him a house. Verse 3. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house? Build a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day. But I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why build ye not me a house? The Lord saying, he says, I've been, you know what I like? David said, the ark of God is in curtains. But the Lord told Nathan, he said, you go tell Nathan this. He says, I'm sorry, go tell David. Y'all listening. That got me. He says, go tell David this. He says, but I have what? He says, he want to build me a house? He says, I haven't asked for a house. He says, but I have walked in a tent and a tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
God.
Christ.
Yeah. You remember the, and I know David knows his God, but he's looking at the box. The Lord says, I'm in the tent. He says, I walked. I'm in there. I walked in the tent. I walked in the tabernacle. God was in the, he was in there. When the priest went in there, he went through the the holy place. He went behind the veil to the Holy of Holies, made the sacrifice, and what happened after that? Exodus said the glory of the Lord filled the place because he was the God that dwelled between the cherubims, right, on the mercy seat. That's where he told him, he said, you meet me there. Not everybody, just the high priest. And he'd come in, and God was in there. He sprinkled the blood on there, and when he accepted it, the glory, and the priest went out. He says, hey, everything's good. We good for another year. That's it, just a year. He had to go back every year. But the Lord says, I'm in there. That's why when he's crucified and the veil was rent from top to bottom, guess what he said? See ya. I'm not in there anymore. But they kept going, didn't they? They kept going in there. You go to church, you think the Lord's there? You think, yeah, just because it say church and it got a cross on the building and you think God's in there? That don't mean God's in there. It could be just religion. That's what Paul said. He says, I profited in the what?
Religion.
The Jews' religion.
Yeah.
Well, that religion at one time was what God was doing.
Yeah.
But he said, now,
I'm
not in there. I'm not in there. I'm not in there. He says, I walked in that. Guess where he's walking now?
In you.
In you.
Yeah, we're the temple.
What?
We're the temple.
Know ye not?
We're the temple of God.
And he?
In you.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
And you are not?
Your own.
That's the verse we don't like. That's the verse we skip over. That's the verse we don't like. Move on to the next verse. You've been bought
with a price.
So
we glorify God. We don't skip those. We just like the part that, don't you know? Glorify God. Oh, hold on, Ed. That's don't go too fast. But he's in there.
Amen.
But the Lord says, go tell David. I never asked that. Tell me one time that I asked you to build me a house. He couldn't do it. But he told him, verse 8 or verse 9, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, and will plant them, and they that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. So the Lord said, "I'll tell you where my well be. I'll appoint a place for you." But David, he has rest now from all his enemies. He's doing this out of gratitude. You ever studied the rest? The rest? Not the rest, but R-E-S-T, rest. Where the rest is, the Lord said this. He says, God created the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day,
he rested
from all his work which he had created and made. Therefore, he sanctified the seventh day, right, and set it apart. He made it holy. He said, this seventh day is the what?
Sabbath.
Yeah. You know what Sabbath means?
Rest.
Yeah. It means rest. Mm-hmm. And he says there, right here, I've given you rest from your enemies.
Amen.
And although this rest didn't last, look at Hebrews. Hebrews,
three.
Is it three? Yeah.
Didn't believe, no rest.
Hebrews
rest.
Three. Three. Yeah, three. Well, let's start at verse 11. Well, verse 8. 3:8. He says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. You know why they couldn't get it? Because they said this. Well, when they came out of Egypt on his grace. Nothing they did. He says, I'm bringing you out to take you in to the rest. Yes. And they came out and says, well, we need some water. After that, he says, Moses said this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians that you see from this day forward, you will see them no more. He brought them out, caused the flood, the waters to come over them. All you saw was ankles and wheels. And they get out, and they get, it wasn't 3 days. We hungry. We thirsty. We should have, at least we had garlics and leeks back in Egypt. And the Lord says, I'm doing this to test you, to see whether you appreciate, whether you walk in my ways or not. And they get through there, and he gives them, guess how many trials he gives them? You got it. 10. And he says, they finally get to the point where Moses comes down with the law, and he says, yeah, we'll do it. But he says, you grieve me. He said, that's why I told them they won't enter into my rest. And he turned them around and made them walk around 40 years till they all dropped dead.
No rest.
And except Caleb and Joshua, who the scripture said, who had a different spirit. They had a spirit of gratitude. And the Lord said, out of all them people, 600,000 men besides women and children. And the Lord said, they won't get it. And he said, verse 11, so I swear in my wrath they should not enter to my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That'll preach too, Lord. You know what? This deceitfulness of sin. You know what keeps you from fellowshipping? The old man. He tricks you. He tricks us. Come on now. He always says, it's a lot greener over at Sodom, ain't it? Look, when Abraham went out there, he says, we're not getting along, me and Lot. He says, wherever you pick, I go the opposite way. And Lot, good, godly, dedicated, spirit-filled brethren, he looked out and he says, ah. He said he picked the plane towards Sodom. He said, because it was green and it looked like Eden. It looked like the Garden of God. He said, I want that. And Abraham said, okay, you go that way, I go that way. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he says, but the scripture said, but the men of Sodom were what? Wicked. And the old man, that's what he does. He says, think about this. This is what's best for you. The deceitfulness. And so you turn your heart towards against what God wants for your flesh. Romans 7 said that sin. What?
No, you go ahead.
He said, right, what? He said the deceitfulness, the sin is the deceitful lust of sin. Because he don't tell you that when it's all said and done, he got you beat. And Galatians said, don't be mocked. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man
soweth, there shall he also reap.
He can get by with it.
Mm-hmm. You reap what you sow, you're going to reap.
Sometimes he can get by with it.
What you sow, you're going to reap.
It's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, like, you're not a killjoy. You think with God saves you and he gives you these guidelines. It's not so you know, he's not saying, I don't want you to enjoy life. He said, I'm coming that you might have life and have it what?
More abundantly.
But the problem is, what we call fun is what he calls sin. So, and you know what? It'll never change. You gonna think, or to say, but for your much speaking, that you're gonna change God's mind, like when Samuel said, "What are you calling me for?" When Saul was like, "Come up," he's not listening, he's not answering me. God's not answering me, and he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "I already told you no." Well, he already told you, this is sin. This is the outcome. I don't like it. It's gonna hurt you, and you think that, well. Not this time. Or, did we have a great time? We had a great time. But you know when you start cashing those checks? When you get older.
It comes back.
Or, if you're real fortunate, it might get you when you're younger. Well, you don't have to learn those, you know, you don't write as many checks. Or you don't have a whole lot to pay for. So you write one check when you're young. Maybe you can cash that one right away. And you say, whoa, is that what sin is like? I'm going to stop right now. See, I never drank. I never smoked. I never did drugs. Those checks I didn't have to cash. But I wrote some checks. And I'm cashing them in. And it ain't fun. Just because you got yours, I got mine, but somewhere you're going to overdraw your bank account. And it's not fun. He says, we get back here. Verse 15. While it is said, to Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And the same way we get it. You don't experience the joy of forgiveness, the rest, because of unbelief.
That's so true. That's true.
So you tell a man, did you know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and not
imputing?
He's not counting it against you. Not imputing trespasses, but he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, that we should go out and we beseech men in Christ's stead to come in and rest. Come in and rest. And you know what he tells you? Well, I got to stop this. Well, I'm still doing this. Well, he had a whole list of things. Just like the man was at the pool of Bethsaida. He was sitting there, and the Lord came up to him. He says, I can see, probably looked at him. He says, "Would thou be made whole?" I come here and every time I try to get close, somebody goes in front of me. He had a whole list of them, didn't he? And the Lord asked him, "Do you want to be made whole?" You figure he could have crawled right up to the edge, and the next time he could have just rolled on over in there. So, am I right? So he asked him a question. He said, "Do you want to be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And the Lord, he granted his wish. He's still asking today. It's just a different question now. He says, "Do you want the rest? Do you want the rest?" Now this is them, but for us, look at Romans 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Romans 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, what we got first? Romans 10 says this. 10:1. Brethren, this is Paul. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the," what?
"The end of the law."
For what?
For righteousness.
"To everyone
believe."
Now, the problem with Israel is they had the law. Right. Was it from God?
Yes. Yes.
Sure it was. Yes. Heaven sent, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Regulations. Yes. He says, but their problem is this. They sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, and they performed. They went through the do's and the don'ts. You know, you can't do this, you can't go here, you can't do that, you can't wear lipstick, you can't wear earrings, you can't wear short dress, you can't wear tights, you can't wear lipstick, you can't wear rouge, all that. Yeah, you ever been to places like that?
Yes.
So you do all that and you think you got God's righteousness. And God is so far from that. He don't care if you, you came in with a top hat on.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, when I first got saved, you know what I went to church in? almost, just as bad. I didn't have any church clothes. I had no idea about. You know what I went to church in? I went to church in a tuxedo shirt. That's all I had, because I went to church in a tuxedo.
Thank the Lord.
Nobody said anything. The thing is they were just happy that I was there. No, I'm serious. And that's the way you should be.
Yeah.
That's the way you should be.
That's so true.
They embraced me, and they said, as long as he's coming,
right,
he can wear whatever he wants to wear.
That's right.
And
whatever you want to wear, in God's house, be free to wear it. No matter how it looks, no matter what it reveals.
No, no, I'm not. Let me finish my elaborate on it. What grace does? It says, "Come what." And then he'll teach you. Titus says this: the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appeared to all. That grace
teaching us
to do what?
Deny ungodliness.
And what? Worldly lust. That we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present evil world. And he said this: when you get the information, he says, "Now you ladies," he says, "do this." He says, "You dress modestly. Not with costly array." Where at that time, he said, "But you dress up right. You be adorned with good works." So if you go somewhere and you see a young girl or a guy, but it's mostly the women, you say, "Hey, baby, we glad you're coming." Mm-hmm. But as an older woman, that's a little too revealing. Mm-hmm. Or that's too tight, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's distracting. Mm-hmm. And you could say it in a way where, right, where it's not offensive. Mm-hmm. And even though they might get offended. Because flesh doesn't like what? They don't like the truth, and they don't like spiritual instruction. So you might expect a little kickback, but you're doing that because God is not the author of confusion. You're doing that because all things should be done decently and in order, and you're doing that the word of God and his doctrine be not what? Blasphemed. You don't want people's... You see that church? You know how they go over there? They had like they go into the club. And it's something like that. But see, it takes not a gossiper. It takes somebody who's spirit led, who's but Galatians said this, who's spiritual, to go to that person and say, "We're happy you're here. We thank God that you're here. But let me share something with you." Just pull them to the side and say, "We love you." And like one lady said, "It's not a law against covering your body." You can do that. We don't have that rule. We don't have that rule here. So, or finding clothes that fit you right.
And I like that.
So, and you know what? And just drop it. Amen. Now, I'm, anyway.
Well, since you said can I assume that this means that you wore some pants with that tuxedo shirt?
I did. But they were in tuxedo pants, though.
That's all right.
We get back to David next week. We're going to stop right there. And
First Corinthians.
I'm way over time. I'm sorry. I told one of the.
Huh? That part
Tuesday. Yeah, that's
You have the scripture, First Corinthians.
1:30. I'll quote it where he said, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness in Romans."
That's
Romans 10, right? He's the end of our struggling to meet God's approval. And in Corinthians, he said this: Christ, he's made unto us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. First Corinthians 1:30.
Wisdom.
Just three. Okay. I think it was three in that passage.
Four.
Yeah. He's everything that you need. He gives you the rest that you're looking for. He gives you the peace of mind that you're looking for when you come and just trust him. Just him. Because you look out outside of him, you don't have wisdom outside of him. You don't have righteousness outside of him. You don't have sanctification outside of him. Do you?
No.
Or not if that's worth anything. And you don't have rest outside of him. And we'll find out next week when he talks about rest. He's talking about his son. Amen. And when you get him, you get rest. Just like Israel, they're still waiting in Hebrews. All right, let's stop there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just appreciate the privilege and opportunity we have just daily to read and to study your word, to meet together as a body again, to enjoy each other's fellowship, to hear from you. And Lord, just we thank you for giving us rest in your son. Lord, the end of all of our struggles, the end of all of our striving to please you, we get it in your son. And Lord, we thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. I thought about something you said.